There it is. The red planet Mars. For over 2,000 years, the symbol for war. And we dare to fly in the face of Providence and try to bring it closer to us.
Wonder what kind of world we're opening the door on. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack. We mine the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 106. What?
Sorry.
Did I screw up?
I'm just so happy. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Welcome back, everybody. It's a brand new show. We're here to talk about a brand new movie. Joining me today to do that is Brian Antenna Jesus Dunaway.
Not as happy as Randy Jordan, but thank God for these stupid dames during the 50s. Otherwise, we might not have had anything explained to us. By the way, can I take your outer coat? How about your inner coat? Your subcoat? It's nice to meet you.
I love what you zeroed in on. That's great. Yeah. That's really great.
Could these people wear any more clothes?
I know. Layers, man.
Oh, it's the 50s, man. People wore some serious clothes
back then. And it was all wool and stuff. All of it.
Yeah. Oh, they're all so sweaty.
Fantastic. Also joining us, Randy Pie-Eaton Stewart Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian. This week I heard that I was getting the blame for the choosing of our film. I want to get out in front of this thing right here and now and put a stop to such a vicious rumor. In fact, I am determined to find the real source for us watching this movie. If I have to put you all on trial, praise Jesus.
All right. Praise the Jesus antenna. Brilliant. And then finally, Brian, Billy, you ever see a grown man naked Ibbit?
Do they have that in this movie?
No, but they have the guy who said it in the movie. Right, and that was good enough for me.
Well, miss, Mars's orbit's in the shape of an ellipse. Stupid woman, here, I'll draw one on the board for you. Pi, what, you only know the first 6 digits after the decimal? Stupid woman, here are the next 11 digits of pi. What's that? You say you want to light a cigarette in here? But we'll all blow. Oh, I see what you're up to, stupid woman.
Dude, you do a really good, like, 40s, 50s, like, sexist dude. That was really good.
Sexy dude.
A lot of mad men.
That was great.
Walter Sandy, you were...
Yeah, I guess. Who was that? Which one? Was that the guy?
I was thinking of the Admiral for some reason who shows up at their house and a bit. He's a bit incredulous.
Yeah, with the kid and the pie revelation and all that bullcrap. Man.
In this episode, we try desperately to not spend the next hour talking about science.
Real hard. Actually, it won't be too hard. This movie's terrible at talking about science either. The movie is Red Planet Mars. Otherwise unknown film to me until we watched it. Earliest film we've seen, 1953, right?
1952.
Crack smoker.
Trust me.
Just throwing numbers out there.
He's trying to make a deal with us on the year of a film.
Do I have 50? Do I have 51? 51, 51. You in the back. Yes, 51. 54, 54.
Well, the two others that were close to this would have been Plan 9 from Outer Space and then that other one about the attacking
the
lizard thing.
Yeah. The fly.
No. The 20,000.
Yeah, the 20,000 fathoms one, because the fly one would have been closer to 60.
58
was it? It was old, but it was color. I remember that.
It was colored, just like this movie.
My favorite thing about Red Planet Mars is that it's the director's first film.
Oh, really?
That says a lot, you know. Like, not only is it 60 years old, but it's his first try.
I feel like we've seen a lot of directors' last films. I don't know if
right? And this was, oh my gosh. And this was based on a play written by the producer's son, I think. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's interesting because now I understand why it kind of felt like a play. Because it's very like, you know, central stage, fade in and out, lots of conversation, no action of any kind. It's a stage play. It really is.
It totally is. Yeah.
And by the way, there's no aliens in this movie.
No.
Spoiler alert. The film Red Planet Mars features absolutely no Red Planet Mars. Uh-huh.
Or even black and white Planet Mars, or even anything remotely looking like Mars, including things that were supposed to be photographs of Mars that were clearly terrible drawings of Mars.
Close-up of a flannel blanket.
Yeah.
If I'd have seen this first, if someone said, hey, you know The Village by M. Night Shyamalan? Going to be just like that. I would have said, not watching that Village movie. Mm. No, sir.
Can I shame myself a little bit here publicly? Still haven't seen The Village?
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, it's like this movie. Don't watch it.
Well, everyone said it sucked, so I didn't go. And then I didn't rent it. And for whatever reason, it just kind of got past me. And I kind of think, I guess the last Shyamalama Ding Dong movie I saw was Signs. Because everything else came after that, and I didn't see any.
I'd say of all of the crappy Shyamalan movies, this is the best of the crappy ones. Mm.
Yeah. The best of the crappy ones, okay.
The Village is the best of the crappy ones.
Yeah. Really?
Where would you put Signs in there, Ibbot?
I'd put Signs below The Village.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I quite liked it.
I'd put The Devil, or not The Devil, just Devil above Devil. Signs.
Okay.
What?
Okay, but hold on now. So... I like Signs. Does that mean I'm going to like The Village? It sounds like it probably will, if I'm you.
If you're probably. Like me, mm-hmm. You know, I like both of them a lot. I love them because I'm a big fan of scoring like they do in these movies.
What?
Snoring? Oh, scoring.
Scoring. The James Newton Howard scores for these films are all related. If you watch The Sixth Sense and then you watch... The Unbreakable and then Signs and then The Village, you'll hear James Newton Howard going through a progression of different things that are somewhat related.
Do you also do Unbreakable as well?
Right. Unbreakable was the second one.
Oh, you mentioned that. Yeah. I love that movie. I thought for some reason I didn't hear you say it, but yeah, the music's a huge part of those films for sure. But is that enough to elevate them past sort of meteoric story and...
For my money, yes. The Village has really awesome performances, not by the people who are at the top of the credits, like William Hurt and Sigourney Weaver. They kind of phone it in, but I feel like they're great performances by Bryce Dallas Howard and Joaquin mm-hmm. Phoenix and Adrian Brody. And,
Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah, Hairlip, yeah. Remember? He was in it.
He was. He was actually the very best of the movie, and I don't know. I think I never could recover from the gank I felt immediately, like, this is not the movie you promised me. This is not the movie you promised me.
That's what I've found. The people who, like, I didn't know anything about it when I saw it, and I've always liked it. And that I've met people who are like that, and then people who had this expectation have always disliked it.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the same thing would be true of people who watch Red Planet Mars from way back in the day, because on the poster it says, "From outer space, an earth-shaking threat from Red Planet Mars."
Yeah, they totally oversold it.
Mother fool.
There's none of that.
I want to tell you guys.
World excitement and suspense.
Listen.
See the first contact between Earth and Mars. This poster's a liar.
Yeah, the poster is lying.
Helpful hints from Red Planet Mars.
My favorite favorite text I've gotten for a long time was from Brian Ibbot today, and he says this. Hold on, I've got to find it right here. It's hilarious.
So Brian Ibbot is the last one of us to watch the movie today.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah.
He says, 50 minutes into Red Planet Mars, WTF is this nonsense? Exclamation point. So, that's kind of how I felt. I guess I was expecting a bunch of 50s era, you must bow to your new Martian leader kind of stuff. And there wasn't any of that. It was all talk and a lot of jibber jabby and sort of this, I guess, 50s era close look at what the Cold War has done to us, and also, you know, personal introspection, and also let's jam as much religion down everyone's throat as we can, but then let's kind of rip that away at the end. And like, there is a twist in this movie, you know, like I almost feel like not giving it away because it's not bad. It's not,
bad. Maybe we're talking about different things. I knew the twist about 12 minutes into the movie.
I didn't, and I had no clue.
It was so obvious to me that it was embarrassing. But maybe we're talking about different things. So, do we have Fletcher?
We've got a 60-year limit. 60-year
statute of limitations.
Statute of limitations on a spoiler alert. I think we're okay.
Yeah, well, no, we can totally talk on it.
I'm not worried about spoiling it. I'm thinking about us getting to it in due time.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Sure. Let's play the Fletcher hoo ha. and then we'll come back here. So Scott
Joplin rang the Fletcher hoo-ha.
Scott Fletcher, explain what this movie is, specifically Red Planet Mars.
Red Planet Mars. A scientist, played by Peter Graves, attempts to contact life forms on Mars and receives a response that changes the world. In this Cold War era sci-fi film, the message, claiming a utopian society on Mars, causes a panic in the United States as fears of the aliens' presumed advanced technology result in a collapsing economy. But is the message really from outer space? Or is there a communist plot brewing?
Oh, that almost gives it away.
Communist plot. It's actually not even a communist plot. It's a German plot. It's just Germans.
It's the Germans and the Russians working together at last.
Right.
So, maybe he was Eastern or West German. I don't know. Or Eastern German.
East German. Yeah. Yes.
But all right. I mean, so the twist, I think, I don't want to get, I mean, obviously this is the end of the movie, basically. But the German dude is over there spoofing everybody.
Yeah,
and I didn't expect that. I didn't.
Like, no, I didn't. I didn't either.
I don't know why.
Really?
I didn't, yeah.
Right. In his very first scene, he tells his overlord, who I'm forgetting that guy's
Boris something,
source. But he tells the guy, "I'm talking to the Americans." Like
True.
It's
however,
just,
I was napping at that point. So
I guess I was already asleep. I guess the thing that throws you is that, like Scott Fletcher said, an American scientist, hardly a scientist.
Right.
This guy, but you have already at that point seen him training the receiver of his, his scope, whatever that awful thing was.
Right.
He is focusing it on Mars to get his signal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you don't think to yourself, oh, he's full of shit. He doesn't know what he's doing. And he's somehow focusing it on South America. I don't know. That makes no sense. Anyone who knows anything about radio would be able to figure this out.
Yeah, it's bad tech all around.
But it's portrayed as though he knows what he's doing and he's pointing at Mars and he's adjusting for Mars movement and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Well, so I could see that. I mean, the guy does say that, you know, he can bounce it off the inner atmosphere and make it seem like it's coming from anywhere.
Yeah, he did. It's all a bunch of hoo-ha. Like those big giant dials and the idea that the Carnegie Institute would give you a bunch of money because you and your wife have some freaking unit in your house that you're pointing at stuff. All really weird.
It's not a reliable narrator, basically, this movie.
Yeah,
you can't believe what it's telling you.
Yeah, that's true. And they jerk you around quite a bit. And at the end, I tried to imagine myself sitting in a theater in 1950 blah and getting into this. And I don't know how people did. Like, I don't know how you went to this. How did you go, oh, this is so intense and they're talking to Mars? No way. You know, the way we would do it now with things like, I can't believe Bruce Willis is now on the asteroid and he's digging with that giant black guy from Green Mile. How is this possible? You know, I guess that came later. But anyway, you know what I mean? Like the things that thrill us now are so unbelievably far stones throw away from what would thrill you in 53.
Sure.
But even then, I've seen stuff in 53 with like giant black scorpions stalking the desert. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So
it's not Mars talking to you through stripes on a TV. Oh, four. Four. Oh, two. Oh, four.
The only guy you know in this movie is Peter Graves. You know him from Airplane.
Yeah, I didn't recognize him at first.
No,
he's
very
much
younger.
Yeah.
Probably, I don't know, what, young 30s? He died last year at 85? Yeah.
Did everybody here in the 50s have really big shoulders? I don't know. Everybody felt like they really had really big shoulders.
I think they had padded suit stuff going on, didn't they, back then? I don't know.
It must have been. I don't know.
I'm talking out of my head. No idea.
So he was born in 1926. This came out in 52, so he was 26 years old when this was released.
Ooh, do you know the area of pi?
I know this has to go through, had to go through years and years of special effects and editing. And
you know what? People look a lot older at that age than people that age look today.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Oh, right. Yes.
What I mean, and I mean, just, I don't just mean that they dress more casual or that they try to hold on to their 20s longer or any of that. I just mean, if you see somebody, they physically look younger now at 27, 28 yes. than they did then.
Yes.
What is that and about? Why is that?
Because in the last 60 years, everything has shifted in entertainment to desperately try to make people look younger. So maybe 60 years ago, a 25-year-old looked like a 25-year-old. Now we're trying desperately to make a 25-year-old look like a 15-year-old. Did you see Madonna at the Super Bowl?
But that's why she wore sleeves up.
That didn't work.
She wore her sleeves up high because she was hiding those freaking gangly, nasty, freaking weird arms that she's got.
But I mean, she's 53 years old and she looked 30.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. A lot of fakery. But see, I can see through some of the fakery. It's not that hard for me. But Peter Graves looked 37.
He did look older.
And he looked young for Peter Graves because we don't know him as, you know, a young guy. But I'm just saying, even average people that I know, you know, if I know just some average 28-year-old, I think they... you know, outside of entertainment, no work done, they look younger than they used to look.
I think they cast differently too back then. I think someone who looked older then would probably play better in a film as opposed to people who always look for somebody younger now that looks younger.
That's a good point.
So
probably cast people differently. Yeah.
Yeah. There's also the fact that black and white just absolutely makes people look older. Yeah, just black and white is not
flattering. From the 50s.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. It's all stark shadows and That's true. Andrea King, you don't probably know her out there listening to my voice, but she's been in a butt ton of crap. Lots and lots of films. She died in 2003. She was 84. So some nice longevity going here from some of these
You can tell it's no movie whenever you go to IMDb, and the only people that have pictures at all is Peter Graves and Andrea King.
Right.
And the picture
Everything else was three photographs.
Yeah.
Picture of Andrea King on Wikipedia is like when she's 20.
Yeah, total pinup girl looking thing.
Oh, but I was looking for something that was interesting with Peter Graves, and if you go to his stuff, I mean, he's got some good photographs in there. He's those awesome.
Gigantic sunglasses.
Glasses are my favorite.
Yeah, he's cool, man. So he's the airplane. He's the pilot on the movie Airplane that gets sick and keeps saying, "I'm over Roger. Roger's underdone. Roger over." All that stuff. That's him.
Right.
And
Mission Impossible.
And Mission Impossible, that's right. So he had other stuff, and he's got some great 60s era, like you said, photography there on IMDb. I recommend looking at all of it. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a swinging dude.
Those glasses,
he's the brother of James Arness from Gunsmoke.
Yeah, that's right. They look a lot alike, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So who changed their name, though? Was it Graves or Arness?
Graves did. Yeah, they were both Arness. Yeah. Arness. As a matter of fact, they both changed their names. He changed his to Graves, and James Arness just changed the spelling because it was spelled with a U, A U R.
Oh, wow. Like Ernest?
Arness. No, it's still A U R and E S S.
Oh, okay. Got it. That guy just died too. Man, those dudes live forever. They're tall. Mm-hmm. There goes my theory about tall people dying early.
Oh, we missed Killers from Space, 1954, also. Freonarchive.org.
A lot of name changes back in the day. And this movie, like, we may as well just get to this. This movie is about the McCarthy Red Scare. And it's just a very thinly veiled veil around the, the colored like the American flag and draped over the cross and Jesus and the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
And, it's interesting to think about how people felt at that time. Like, people were willing to change their last name so it didn't sound Russian, you know, or what have you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think that was more, you know, more common then than now, certainly. People do it now because their names are dumb. You know, like Sting. Nobody wants to be freaking Gordon Sumner or whatever the hell his name is. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Emmett?
Yeah, Sumner, yeah.
All right. What a stupid name. Of course you're going to be Sting. You're going to be anything other than that in show business. But back in the day, who knew?
Cheryl Sarkazian.
Right.
Changing your name to Cher.
So none of these guys, like director, the writers, we have never done a movie this old, and it's weird not to. So I go to the trivia page. Nothing.
the trivia page,
there's,
you say?
There's nothing. If you click the link, it actually says, hey, be the first to offer interesting trivia about this movie. I'm thinking the biggest piece of trivia is, contrary to popular belief, this is not a movie about Martians nor Mars. It's about a bunch of white people talking to each other.
Yeah.
It's the day the Earth stood around.
That's pretty good. Why haven't we seen that on the show? That's a question.
No, I know. That'd be a great one.
Yeah.
Either one of them, the Keanu Reeves remake or the original.
Maybe back to back him or something.
I really would like to know how we got this film on the list and ended up watching it. Like, I mean, I know why we watched it, because the inertia of films moving up our list, but I do not recall being the one who proposed it, and I don't recall any of us proposing it. I've been looking through the proposals thread on our forums to try to find a source for this movie. It's just odd to me.
Somehow snuck in there. I have no idea. I had never heard of it until I saw it.
It's a little German scientist. He's been right. putting them in.
He's up whispering. In the Arctic. Arctic calling everyone else, slip that movie in. I'm coming to you from the Jesus antenna. Over.
I think this would have been a hilarious one for us to do as a bonus sec, because I think the four of us, none of us seeing this movie before, would have had some hilarious reactions and insights to what was going on.
You would also probably had the most conversation we've ever had in a bonus act, because there was so much dead air in this thing. I mean, they never once reward you with a shot of a Martian or the idea that Martians, like, they have these photos, excuse me, you can't see my air quotes here, but photos of the Martian surface,
right,
with like melted ice caps, and how are they changing each day, and right, what technology could be at work. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, cool, later we'll get to see something. Just a big old.
Oh, the canals are all filled in now. What? Oh,
that
cool.
was a total. That was a total canard. Like, it never got anywhere.
Yep.
It was almost like we were supposed to think about that while the film set the table for it to be about, you know, God ruling Mars and how the Christians in the United States need to resist the Russian menace.
Such a weird turn. Like, such a. Totally. It really caught me off guard. And I remember thinking in the middle of it, I'm like, really? You're going here with this?
Right.
Like, this is the 50s, man. It's all about the fly and freaking, you know, Mars needs women. Where's that?
Yeah, Mars needs Mad Men.
We have a new transmission from Mars. It's telling us that, if we apply club soda to a wine stain, it'll help get it out.
it's really like that, only about God and Jesus.
Yeah, right. It is. But then at the end, okay, let me just tell everybody how this works. So they think they're talking to Mars, and then Mars is saying, you should have listened to Jesus, but instead you're all a bunch of boneheads and you suck. So we're over here having the best time ever, and you guys suck, and it's your own doom. Okay, great. So everyone's thinking, oh, we should rethink our lives and figure out a way to overflow the Russian government and let the freaking the hippie guy take over and change the government in Russia. But America's okay, obviously, because that president's super prayerful or whatever. And then
people start praying like crazy and getting shot down.
Yeah. And so in the end, at the end of this thing, toward the end of it, we find out that German dude up at the Arctic Jesus antenna nobody knows about.
Yeah, in the Andes.
Right. He you know, comes in and goes, it was me the whole time. You know, so now, and they can't quite believe it.
We're led to believe that he's killed by an avalanche.
Right.
Right.
Which is the worst miniature set I've ever seen.
There's the special. There
was your action. That's what I was getting at in the, which twist are we talking about? Because the twist that he was talking to them, I didn't feel was very twisty. But then him appearing and then them all getting killed in a huge foreshadowing, by the way.
Yeah.
there's a first trope of the show for you.
Yeah, there's a big fat trope. In fact, deserves a trope notice.
There's a hydrogen bomb in here. There will be no smoking. We can't even smell it, and we could just blow ourselves up. And we're going to end the movie by blowing ourselves up.
Of course. Killing dude, lady. I presume Stuart's out. His little brother's out. They're all done.
Yeah. No. Stuart and his brother were... They showed up at the very end.
That's right. I forgot. They survived. Yeah. That's right. That's too bad. So it gets to the thing where the guy comes and says, it was me feeding all these messages. So then we're like, oh, well, there is no Martian Jesus. Dang it. So everybody's flipping out and changing their lives for nothing because they've all bought into this ruse, and then they blow everybody up. But everybody outside still thinks that it's going on. And what is the message there, Randy? That's the worst message I've ever heard.
The beauty of it, this is like the one good thing in the film. The film is really bad propaganda, but the one good thing in the film is they're in the middle of getting a message from Mars when they all get blown up.
Right.
So, it's like, you have done well, my people, ..
Yeah.
And so,
I thought it was I actually thought it was one of the most interesting aspects of the story was the scientist dealing with whether or not he's going to release the news of whether there was God contactness. And he didn't have any trouble with anything else except that. So that internal struggle was something actually that kind of stood out and kind of rose above.
Well, that's where I think it works. That's where I think the movie actually kind of worked for me. It didn't really work at all. But there's this thing about it that kind of works, which is, yeah, what would this do? What would this do to humanity? Would they all buy into it? Would they all change their lives in this simplistic way, through the visor of a 50s film? Yeah, maybe. But when you'd find out that it's not really happening, they're not even going to go down that rabbit hole, and they kill off the only guy who's been doing it, and suddenly the transmissions end, and I guess his remains weren't there at the place when it blew up. Maybe it was just a big, huge explosion.
It's the hydrogen. Yeah, they're not going to go through that.
I guess so. So let's say they didn't, whatever. But then just to leave it all with, we haven't heard from the Martian prophet since that day.
We shall never know. We will never know.
And I just felt like you were, you know what, all you're doing, because you've shown your hand to us. We know what happened. And so I'm left just kind of feeling dirty about it. Like, yeah, all of humanity has been duped by this dead German guy. Nobody's the wiser. What a bunch of dumbasses. Roll credits. Oh, wait. 50s movies, roll them before the movie starts. There are no credits. Let's just go to the big red Netflix screen and go home.
It almost makes you wonder if, as propaganda, it undid itself. It turned out to be the wrong propaganda.
Yes, kind of it was. That's, I guess, what I'm saying is it wasn't even pro-American anymore. It wasn't even pro-God anymore. It was pro-dumbasses. Like, look how dumb we all are.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe it's brilliant.
Skeptics would probably, skeptics would probably really like this movie from just that examination of it.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I don't think anybody religious should walk away thinking they were dealt a good hand either.
Okay, yeah, right.
It sucked. It was just kind of like, it's either like, I'm seriously coming over to the other side that it might be brilliant and I just don't know it. This is like some kind of Rosebud moment.
Well, you'd never see a movie these days do that thing where a couple people have a secret that the whole rest of the world doesn't know, and they go through the whole movie, even to the end, holding onto that secret, and the world never knows about it. Something life-changing like that. It would always get revealed, and then there would be this whole coming back to a moment where they'd realize, oh, it was a bad idea for us to ever hold this information back, blah, blah, blah. Right, no, in this one, it's like, great, hey, we're dying with this secret. Woohoo!
for the better of what she thought.
For the better of mankind, yeah.
Well, for the betterness of, yeah, of
yeah,
the lady.
Yeah, sort of.
Because she was kind of nuts anyway. That lady was
She was kind of losing
schizo,
it.
Nutsy.
But is it? But it's not, but it isn't good for the rest of humanity. In the end, it's not, because it's a false hope. It's all just people thinking that what was happening was happening, but it wasn't. It was German dude. And eventually, you're going to have a Mars rover on Mars actually, and go, oh, this is all bull crap anyway.
Was it the German dude, or was the American government translating it, and was it their part in all this disinformation?
Well, you're right. No. They left that kind of hanging, some of it.
But no, they didn't.
They were
clear on this point. The American government was being duped by red for communist planet Mars, yeah. And that's that. I don't think that there's a.
But the guy, the German guy, said, I think
there was a whole conversation.
Yeah, they were yeah. she said, well, wait, the last transmission was this, and you never said that. And the German guy goes, those aren't my words. Something, something, something. And I don't know if they explained why it was different. Like, they kind of didn't get to that.
I couldn't follow it. It's kind of like the whole pie thing. I'm like, I can't hear anything you're saying. I got to go get pie now.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it just so even that little sprinkle of, oh, maybe there was something in cahoots there, they never really paid off, because then it was time for him and Peter Graves to pretend like they're pushing a gun back and forth and then blow something up. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there's your movie right there. I don't know. This is interesting, you guys. I just want to pause and let you just notice that sometimes the dumbest, weirdest, out there movies that we've seen spawns the most interesting conversation.
Sure. And you think about it longer afterwards, and you know, it's a movie you wouldn't expect to.
Yeah. So I'm kind of in a really weird way, kind of odd that I'm even hearing myself say this, but I'm kind of glad it was on the list, because it got me to thinking about what worked as movies back then. And then on a deeper level, how do you get away with a story that's just so blatantly propagandist and so also blatantly just rug pulling?
Yeah.
You know, again, it might be brilliant. I don't know.
I like the fact that it's on the list because it helped me come up with what I think would be a better film that you can make today. So you've got a couple stoner dudes. One of them is really into computers. You got Seth Rogen and Matthew Lillard as like this computer nerd. Seth Rogen's this, you know, stoner.
I'm already down.
All right. Yeah. They've figured out a way. They've intercepted a transmission to outer space, and they've figured out a way, or Matthew Lillard has, of sending that back to NASA or science or whatever and making it sound like it's coming from another planet. And they like try and Seth Rogen says, well, we've got to figure out a way to make money from this. We can do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And
great, you know, Seth Rogen, by the way.
It's pretty good.
The whole film is them, you know, posing with these responses. Oh, say this. And they're sending messages back to NASA. Like they're coming from this other planet. And
make it a comedy.
Make it a comedy. Okay. Yeah,
and then Matthew Lillard comes out with his scream mask on. And
just kidding.
You know, they're kind of doing that with that 21 Jump Street movie. It's basically that idea, to take a relatively piece of serious subject matter.
And make a comedy out of it, yes.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've seen that trailer, but, I mean, they're going all out comedy, like Rod, rated R, you know, super bad style. Version of that. It's got nothing to do with the original show in almost every way, except it's guys who look young, who are in their 20s, who are being sent back to high school to stop crime, but they've taken the comedy route. So sure, why the hell not? Like, you know, Green Hornet did it with Seth Rogen.
Oh right, yeah, there you go. There's your man. Example.
I've kind of had it with him though.
Yeah, I know. You're tired of Seth Rogen. Maybe, yeah. Okay, Jonah Hill and Matthew Lillard.
Okay, but Jonah Hill is all weird looking now. He's all skinny and weird. He needs to put some weight back on, that guy, that kid.
James Franco and Matthew Lillard.
All right, perfect.
As long as Matthew Lillard is in there.
Matthew Lillard. I think he's
alive. As long as Shaggy's in, we're okay.
I wrote the screenplay with him in mind.
I wrote the play.
I see. That is hilarious. All right, what else?
On Valentine's weekend.
We talked about the photos. They're so bad. The photos of Mars. Come on, guys. That was who did that?
Yeah, it was the really, really, truly weirdest thing about it is this ridiculous thing where they bring it up and they say, look at how the canals run north and south. And you're looking at a picture of canals that run every direction.
Right.
They run east and west.
Yeah. Right.
They run southeast and northwest.
Yeah. That whole opening segment was like that. Just
it was ridiculous.
It was bad.
And whoever, you know, drew the side of a planet does not know how to do any sort of warping around a spherical object.
Right. Those canals were huge. Cookie cutter over
a, I think Stewart did it. It was Stewart. He was in laughing in the other room. They think those are pictures of Mars.
Yeah. Which one is Stuart, the little kid? Which one was the little kid that was in the fireplace?
He has a different name.
What was the deal with the fireplace?
I don't know, man. That was a special
needs. The fireplace, he starts eating something. They go, oh, that Jimmy.
Oh, my Jimmy God. In the fireplace.
That was creepy. I didn't get that whole part. That really messed with my brain.
That was really weird. So Ibbot already touched on this, but man, women were treated bad in the 50s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they really were. Yeah. And I'm sure it seemed normal at the time, but it's so shockingly not normal to me to see grumpy Peter Graves just giving his wife hell
Sitting on the coffee table. Why is Peter Graves sitting on the coffee table?
Good point.
Why is he laying on the
like
floor
that at
with
all.
The kid sitting on top of him?
Well, you know, he's playing with the kids or whatever. I could see that. But the way he treated her. And she's, of course, portrayed as having the vapors and just constantly freaking out and overreacting and being too nervous about everything. And, you know, these are the days before she could take some sort of pill.
You mean 3.1 or 3.1416? Well, you may think it's 1.6, but it actually continues. 3.1415922.
Go away, woman. You know? I don't know.
Even the 10-year-old was smarter than her.
Yeah. Oh yeah, played
because he was a male.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll give that.
He was smarter than his own dad. Like his, you know, he was getting such good schooling that he could come in and offer a suggestion that none of these crazy adults had even thought.
And what was allowed free reign in the kitchen? Apparently, brought half a pie in there and was eating it while the commander was there. Yeah. I mean,
gosh, yeah. Golly,
who
Mom?
Raises kids? I mean, they got kids in the fireplace. They got, I don't know. They fail as parents.
Well, the anti-women thing and the you know, those kinds of things, they feel like tropes that we don't have anymore. Like they're dead tropes.
There's a, There's an interesting beginning of a trope in this movie, a trope that you see a lot more later. This is like the proto trope of Soviet super science.
Oh yeah.
Like in later films, the Soviets, who were the, you know, stock bad guys, had awesome science that the United States hadn't caught up with. In this film, it's just getting started. The Soviets have just gotten their hands on an ex-Nazi who can do some stuff that the Americans clearly can't because they couldn't figure it. They were being led
always
by the nose by these guys.
Yeah.
You know, later. Russians always had to steal their intelligence. They always had to steal somebody and rob them and force them to work. That was always their thing in the movies.
Right.
But later on, you know, Dr. Strangelove, the Soviets have a doomsday device. And, you know, even as late as Indiana Jones and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, we're still making references to Soviet experiments that were so far advanced.
And stolen scientists
again.
Well,
they'll even do it now. Like, you'll see a new movie where it's now the movie's all about, oh, well, the empire is no longer a threat. We've gotten soft on it. We're not paying attention. And now some ex-scientist in Russia behind our backs without us knowing made some incredible bomb that no one's ever heard of because he has this superior Russian science once again. So they still do it. Like, it's just this weird thing we can't let go of, the idea that the enemy is somehow ahead of us and always a threat.
And
they still do it. That's well, a good point.
I did learn a new racist word or something that I feel like it was racist.
let me play like something racist then. Let's see, like
Hold, sinners.
That's kind of racist.
Yes, it's like trying to talk to a gollywog, and I'm like, what is a gollywog?
Ooh, oh, yeah. Ooh, good one.
Yeah, you weren't sure, were you?
I was like, I hit Google. I'm like, I don't know what that is. Gollywog, what is that? I'm like typing, looking it up. I'm like, oh, it's like this black doll with these African descent. I'm like, okay, that's good. It's good enough. All right.
Is it? Is it kind of is it considered a racist thing now?
I don't know if it was now, but it was a character in a children's book, according to Wikipedia. It's kind of a rag doll, but it's some kind of African descent. But apparently it does not speak very good English.
Wow. So it's got that whole, it's like Uncle Tom kind of, you know.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Great. Thanks, Peter Graves.
Thank you.
You know, he's funny in Airplane. I give him that.
Yeah,
a little less serious than this, a lot less serious than this business. He's like a super straight up freaking, how tight can you get that cardigan kind of personality in this movie? Did not like his character at all. I found him annoying.
Really?
Yeah, not heroic. Okay. I thought he was annoying. I like that he's recognizable, that I was like, okay, there's a guy in here I can kind of relate to because I know he does other things. But
another trope. Back in the day, scientists weren't heroic. They weren't considered heroic, couldn't be heroic. They were not military. Military guys, they were heroic.
Yeah.
Not scientists. He was an egghead back in the day.
But they would come in and go, I love how the military, this is the other thing I love. The military is like, well, we don't know about no number crunching. Just know we want to get damn communist bastards where it hurts. You know, that's what they're interested in, and they really play that up here. That, you know, somehow they're all aware of what's going on.
That's when you bring in Tommy Lee Jones and he tells you how stupid you are.
Yeah, it's like Stargate, the movie, which I hate, by the way.
I love that movie.
No, you don't.
You talking about?
You think you do? You don't. You love the first 20 minutes, and then you hate the rest.
Because
the first 20 minutes is pretty good. It's a really interesting.
This might have to be a future film sack to prove me wrong.
Okay, let's do it. I will watch that heap of garbage one more time. And don't forget, I'm a huge SG-1, Atlantis.
I think we should do it as a bonus sack.
Love that stuff, but man, that movie sucks. I would watch it, sure. James Spader's great in it.
Mm-hmm.
Until they get through the gate, then it goes to hell. it's one of those Emmerich movies. I can't do those things. I'm never happy when I leave. Except I kind of like Day After Tomorrow. Other than that, blah.
Yeah, tomorrow's pretty good.
Yeah. As those.
James Spader, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
James Spader.
James Spader's great. What's his name's good? Snake Plissken. Can't think of his real name.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, Kurt Russell. I'll just go ahead and remember one of his character names. That's okay.
MacGyver's cool.
Yeah, MacGyver's. MacGyver's good in SG-1. Whatever. It's fine. We'll watch it. Let's watch it. All right, moving on. Let's see. Movie takes a really long time to do anything I wrote down. I still stand by that. It took an hour and a half, really, to do anything.
And it was a short movie.
Yeah, it was about an hour and a half long.
Longest 87-minute movie ever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that was typical of movies from this era.
Was it? Were they all about? I don't know what the running time was.
Well, sci-fi films anyway.
It's interesting because if you look at old movies, and old commercials and then compare them to new movies and new commercials, you'll find that old movies were short, old commercials were long, a minute at least.
Yeah.
And now it's all switched. It's like 22 seconds for a commercial on average, and movies are, you know, 2 hours and 45 minutes or whatever. I don't know what the average is. I'm sure it's like 2 hours.
Sometimes, I've seen some movies I was like, I wish it was more like Red Planet Mars. I'm like, please, cut down a little bit.
Just a little, sure. A
little bit.
I saw Two Towers. I thought it was too long. I can't. Wow. I finally saw the director's cut, and I know, like Randy, I know you're a huge fan of that movie in particular, of the trilogy. I like it. It's not that I hate it. Of the trilogy, speaking within the context of the trilogy, though, it is my least favorite thing.
I think we have an experiment. Speaking
that would
of
never that. End. That thing never ended.
We should totally do
it. I think it's still going on right now as we talk.
There's another ending right after.
Right.
Yeah.
It's still Love happening it. Right now.
More right. goodbyes.
Let's see. What else? What the hell does eyes... Oh, what does eyes only mean? So everyone's walking around going...
Really?
We got this. Well, I know what it's for your eyes only. I've heard that a billion times.
Well, same thing.
Right. But no why, no but cameras, no tracing, no copying.
Just only eyes only.
Only to be looked at, correct.
See, if every time it's him, I said, no, you mean you for your eyes only. But maybe I'm a James Bond freak, and that's where I'm hearing that from in my head. Like, it makes me want to say, no, for your eyes only. Confidential. Government secret. Something else besides eyes only.
Right. No cameras, no.
Yeah, but nobody had cameras.
Xerox machines.
You bring a guy in with a big bulb. All right, who took a picture? You know?
Right.
I don't know. It just fell out of place and weirded me out.
I thought it was in place. I thought it was perfectly in place.
I don't know. Let's see. Then having... Oh. So I didn't... First of all, we talked about this already, but I didn't expect the church movie thing that happened. And then having it ripped away.
Yeah.
And then have it still be somewhat shocking that everybody still was going down that path. We've discussed this. We don't need to do it again. But it keeps showing up in my notes. Like, that must mean something, that I came away with something with this movie, not just that it was dumb. I don't know. I still don't really know what the message was.
I don't either. It was very convoluted.
You know what the message was intended to be.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just that the film was so bad at making the point that you're confused.
Was that because do you think it's because they were trying to wiggle their way around it? Like, not be super on the nose about what the point was?
Maybe. But just look at the title, you know? Like, it was written during the first Red Scare. You know, the film was produced during the McCarthy Red Scare. So, you know, just look at the title. It's Red is right in the freaking
title. No,
that's
true. I guess part of me wanted to say, oh, it's a giant red planet. It's Red Planet Mars. But you're right. It's super on the nose.
Commie Planet Mars.
Yeah, they should have just said that. Russian Planet Mars is what they should have said.
German beaming to the Earth Mars. That's what it was.
Was he really? He was supposed to be German, right?
He was German. Okay. Totally German.
I mean, all right.
Ex-Nazi.
All right, fine.
Yeah, like I said, Russians don't have their own scientists.
Yeah, but they do have guys in big long coats that show up at the door and go, we are coming to make an accounting of the money we have spent. Blah.
I love that part, actually.
I'm sure those guys all truck.
Give me more Russian stereotypes. I love. Right. Oh my gosh, my favorite part.
The constant drinking.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love those. Yeah.
What'd you say? You were gonna say your favorite what?
Oh, my favorite part was when all the Russians went out and they made the women dig up the old religious relics.
Oh right, right.
Dig them up, woman.
That's pretty good.
It was pretty bad.
They shot him.
Who do you like more? You know what? This is a good question. Who do you like more? Everybody around the table, do we like Russian stereotypes or do we like German stereotypes better? Because they're both pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I like those stereotypes. They're so much fun.
Yeah, I think for entertainment, it's Russian. The producers has really ruined German stereotypes. Actually, a lot of things really ruined German stereotypes.
Yeah. I mean, even I remember Indiana Jones being probably some of my first exposure to cartoon Germans.
Yeah.
You know, where they're lessened, where, you know, where Indiana Jones hands a Bible to freaking Hitler, whatever the hell happened there.
Yeah.
I was older then, but that was kind of my first exposure. And I remember some interview with Spielberg where he's like, I regret two things in life. One, portraying Germans for being less than what they are, which is hideous monsters, or at least Nazis, not Germans generally. And also having everybody have guns and E.T., so I swapped them out with walkie-talkies. God. But the first one is the Germans, and that was about the time he was putting out, you know, Ryan's Privates, or Private Ryan, and the other one, freaking Schindler's List. So I don't know where I was going with that. I'm glad I brought it up because it's just now dangling out there with nothing to say about it.
Dangling.
Yeah. Why did I bring that up? Oh, I well, so I like what do you say, Ibbot, what do you say, German or Russian?
Russian for sure. Give me Yakov Smirnoff any day.
Oh.
I don't know. It's something I kind of like about a good German.
In Russia, you talk to God. In Soviet Mars, God talk back to you.
Okay, maybe it's the Germans, the fake Germans in Star Wars. That was my first experience with that, and that kind of solidified it as the scary world power that, you know, would be in movies. So maybe I like, that's why I like it more. So I'm going to dissent. I'm going to say German. I like the.
All right, fine.
I like a German stereotype.
I'm going to make a downfall video of that.
All right, do that. Okay. Well, anyone got anything else before we do some clippies?
No.
Can we make a deal to try to figure out in advance from now on if none of us have seen a movie, if it's this bad?
Yeah.
Right.
We should do that.
We watched Dunaway before to see that damn Robin Hood movie with.
Oh my gosh, that was, y'all are so welcome.
Yeah, that was the one time. I don't know if the audience knows this, but there was one time previously when we had a film that we actually started watching, and all went new.
Yeah, Robin and Marion or whatever it was.
That was Sean Connery. That was horrible.
Yeah, well, we thought it was a safe bet.
The only one of us who started watching it was Dunaway.
Right.
Had us all up the pass before.
I hadn't even hit play yet, and I was really glad when he told me that. But it seemed like a safe bet. It's Sean Connery. It's Robin Hood. Yeah. How could you go wrong?
Totally.
Apparently,
I just want to say one thing that I really love. There's a couple of shots during these movies, and you could tell it's a first time director thing. There's a couple of shots that are just like, they just stand out hugely, and the camera stays on them way too long. And there's one scene near the end where Graves is looking into the camera. It looks like they spliced it in where he just stands there. He's just staring and glaring at the camera. That was funny. But the dude, the dude that was when they were when they're all complaining and about the potatoes and they were complaining about, you know, all the different unions, I guess. Yeah. And that dude that was talking about the potatoes, man, he was wagging his finger like nobody's business right in the camera. If that had been 3D, I'd have been like trying to swat it away, man.
Right.
I mean,
you know. Ducking.
Yeah.
Getting all sick. Yeah.
It was great.
That's awesome. I didn't notice. You know what? Now that you mention it, I remember that. But I really was kind of half asleep during most of it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. There was a couple of times I was like, woke up, what's going on?
Oh, they're talking about Peter Graves and pie again? Okay. All right, well, let's play a couple of clips here. Got a little handful. We got the intro narration that preps us for what is yet to come.
This is a story not yet told.
Well, no.
It begins on a warm evening some years hence, when high on a mountaintop in Southern California, a giant telescope searches the heavens for the secrets there contained.
For the secrets there contained.
They're contained. I love that guy.
Hey, Bill, brush up that script. It needs to sound more fancy. All right.
Totally.
I'm using enhance and contain.
Uh-huh. That's pretty
what
good.
You got?
That's hideous.
That was fantastic.
But awesome, yeah. I was excited at that point because I still thought I was going to get Martians and bad special effects.
Me too. Yeah. I was so buying into it because I was like, oh, this is going to be so, you know, 40s newsreel style and it's going to be good, but no. Oh, my gosh, if they didn't stop the newspaper flashes, how many times did they have those things come up?
That was a huge chunk of film. That had to have been 5 minutes of montage of extra, extra, freaking dude found Mars and God lives there, extra, that whole thing. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And the California frenzy.
Mars.
Frenzy, dude. All right, some cheeseball dialogue for you.
You know, yes. I expected you to be older. You are the radio man.
If you think of yourself as the guy with the spyglass.
I really walked right into that. I didn't mean it quite as it sounded.
That guy. He's the one that was like the... that guy.
Right.
Does anyone talk like that anymore?
What?
Oh, I mean that sound quite like it sounded. Nobody talks like that.
Nobody, no.
Totally walked into that one.
And actually, okay, this is funny you should say that. So I'm listening to some old-time radio the other day, and most of that stuff's scripted, but occasionally someone will come out and just talk, okay? And when they do, they still sound like that. There's era-specific, well, let me tell you, Bob, I believe, there's just a weird thing that doesn't exist anymore. Nobody talks like that now.
No, except for Stage.
Well, but even then, it's different and more nuanced. And back then, it was everybody was like game shows. I was listening to some old Groucho Marx game show thing, whatever it was called. You Bet Your Life or whatever. And it was the radio version. And he was like, so where are you from? And she's like, well, I come from the upper part of the northern part of the New York State, blah, 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 blah. And there's just like a weird, I don't know, thing in their voice.
Properness? Yeah.
There's something. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to put my finger on it. And I absolutely love it. I think it's the greatest thing.
Wouldn't you like to go back and have some reality TV from that time period?
Oh, Lord.
Fantastic.
Everybody would just sit and not know what to say.
More proper reality TV.
Well, I'm not used to being on the television. I mean, that's how it would be.
The confession interviews would be like, well, I was just sitting on the couch knitting while my husband was smoking a pipe and reading the newspaper.
Yeah. Do you guys have sex? The dog got what? Wait, you got to finish that. What's the dog doing?
Got up. He was just sitting in front of the fireplace. He got up. He turned around three times and he sat back down. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Incredible story.
It just seems so, I don't know, it's so different than now.
Totally.
It's like it's fake, you know, like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
All right. How about that's what the pitchers, this is the pitchers.
Are you saying you think those pole formations are ice? And that in a week, these Martians have melted ice caps thousands of feet high and used the water to irrigate the planet?
Isn't that what the picture says?
Isn't that what it says?
Wow. He didn't give him a chance to answer. He just kept on talking.
You're actually making me want to watch the film. Like, you're making me like the movie here. I actually thought about this quite a bit since watching it. Am I going to go on FilmSack and tell somebody who hasn't watched it, you know, stop listening to this and watch the movie before you continue?
Right.
And I actually am starting to think, you should.
I think
you should watch this movie.
We always encourage them to, but sure. Even in this case, I feel like also they need to suffer with us. You know, let's commiserate together. You guys, if we see a piece of poo, you should see a piece of poo.
Right. Yeah, that's I agree. You should suffer with us.
You should go back and watch Retrograde, all of you.
Oh, I don't know if I'll go that far.
Yeah, that's one we should have collaborated on before we did it. But then again, the memories, dude. That was a great time.
Exactly. I feel better. Now when somebody says, what's the worst movie you've seen on FilmSack, that's one of the ones that comes up is like, oh, was it Retrograde? I think it was. Yeah. So now we've got an answer for that.
That's right.
I miss some things about that stupid, terrible movie. Like how the ship was a room.
You know? Yeah, a room. I love that.
Let's see. Grandstand seat. Oh, it's just a comment.
It's like having a grandstand seat for the creation of the world.
Or it's death.
Ooh. I love her. That's my favorite part.
She's randomly angry about making contact.
Yeah.
It's not consistent at all.
No, sometimes she's scurrying around. Oh, let me pull the levers and do the thing. And then suddenly it's all, she'll gaze off into fake space and make some comment like that.
Well, you know, women.
I hope you have her oblivion comment too.
I might.
Right? Well, you know, men didn't understand women back then, and they didn't understand what PMS was, and so they probably just thought that's how women acted.
Right.
It's like, yeah, randomly she just is going to freak out.
The way you say that makes it sound like we still don't understand PMS. You haven't convinced me that we've really learned anything.
I haven't learned anything.
That's
nothing.
Really funny.
Squat.
We have the aeroplane now.
Yeah, we do. And the locomotive. Here's the gibberish.
Is Terra energy?
Well, that's rubbish, Lynn. Scientifically, we've advanced further in the past 60 years than we have in the previous 2000. Radio, television, automobile, aeroplane, atomic fission, jet propulsion. And now, well, you saw those pictures tonight, heard what Mitchell said. If we can once talk to Mars, we may be talking to brains as far ahead of ours as ours are ahead of monkeys.
What?
Why would you talk to brains?
That's awesome.
That's some pretty awesome dialogue. Randy's not wrong, dude. This is it. Kind of makes you glad you saw it.
Better. Although I have to say again, we're really not that far ahead of monkeys.
Like, no, not that. Not as much as people think.
Really, really similar. You know, like
I'm still throwing my poo.
And he talks about all this technology that they've come up with. How come he doesn't even mention the flat panel TVs that everybody has above their fireplace?
Love those.
Yeah,
the remote controls and everything.
Everything else is like technology that seems a little bit more appropriate and likely for the time. But then you've got these flat panel TVs.
Yeah.
Which he stole from the office, paid the government pay for.
Well, what they probably seemed crazy. Like a moviegoer would see that and go, that's so out of this world. And now it's like, I'll see you at Costco in 10 minutes. Is your car big enough? Okay.
We didn't understand scientists back then. So, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
Right.
It was an enigma.
Right, and they presented the idea of anything is possible.
Right.
The common thought about science was that it was doing the impossible, so anything's possible.
Brian, you're right. They were an enigma wrapped in four layers of wool. That's a good one.
Can I take your other coat? How about this coat?
Smothered with secret sauce.
That's right. All right, let's talk about the Russians.
Answer me! You said you would establish contact with Mars. That was your commitment.
That's the worst Russian fake accent I've ever heard. That's not Russian.
That whole thing that kept falling back and forth between speaking English and Russian and then try to explain it, I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah, no subtitles either.
Oh my!
There were always scenes where somebody had to repeat it in English.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of funny. But that is not a Russian accent. I don't care who you are. That is not Russian.
I didn't hear a single accent that I thought was on the mark. Like, I thought they were so bad.
Yeah, they were.
It got me wondering: have accents changed? Like, was this actually what Germans sounded like?
Just now we hire actual Germans for the parts. Back then, it was like, we need an Indian. Hire the white guy, paint him up, and have him say "how" a lot. Done.
Right.
All right. Who's coming to hear about Mars?
Who's coming?
Probably Mitchell to find out if Mars had anything intelligible to say.
Quit talking about the planet like it's a dude. I mean, come on, Peter Graves. I love you and all, but whatever. We should have had the fish. Remember that in Airplane? Wasn't it the fish you should have had?
Right, yes.
Let's see. Here we go. What is pi? So here's that whole bit with the pi.
Oh, good.
This is great.
What is pi?
3.1416, as I remember.
Roughly. That's it, roughly. Actually, it's 3.1415926 and so on, an infinite number of decimals.
Take that, lady. You dumb broad. <woman.
laughs> Nothing ever follows good after actually.
Yeah, you stupid dame, you dumb broad. That's what they should call it.
Actually, you're an idiot. Let me tell you the real answer.
What's the matter with you, with your rounding?
You're rounding up.
Peter Graves, the radio expert, then makes a mistake right after that.
Oh, does he? Maybe he
refers to pi as an equation.
Oh, you're right, and I didn't cap it. But you're right, he did.
Randy yelled at the screen and said, actually.
Actually, what dumb
the ratio, you idiot.
Yeah, very nice. All right, 50s announcer time. I do like this guy.
And so, not only 2 weeks ago, as a secluded laboratory in the San Diego Mountains has become the new center of the world. Scientists, code experts, newsmen, all concentrated on only one thing.
Newsmen.
The first concrete word from Mars.
Yeah, from Mars.
Newsmen!
I love that guy. He can narrate my funeral. I think he's awesome. Yeah. Love it.
Scott was a terrific newsman.
People are newsmen. Yep. Love that stuff. Okay. All right. Turn that blasted thing off.
Turn that blasted thing off.
I'll just go ahead and repeat.
I love him.
He was pissed. Remember, that was when he got home and he just had it with all like the press coverage and everybody's in the yard and people are picking it. And those guys in the line, dude, that were all like out of a job because...
Because they were all wearing three-piece suits?
Right, but the way they were, like, grimacing at the camera, that was great.
Break his window.
Yeah, the face was like, gubba, gubba, gubba.
I remember the Great Depression.
Yeah, it was bad.
All right, let's see. Well, here's another shorty.
Turn it off, I said.
Oh, angry acting.
Yeah, he was so mad at that point. I mean,
he was pissed. He looked like he was about to pull out a switch.
See, if the kid had been in the chimney at that time when he came home, there would have been all kinds of different attitude about it. It wouldn't have been all as cute. It would have been like, I'm going to murder you.
Yep. Give me some gas and some logs. That kid's getting it.
Was the kid in the chimney because he was trying to figure out where Santa came from? Was that it?
They didn't explain, did they?
Had he hidden something, like a candy up there or something?
No, but
no idea.
Terrible parents.
He's just trying to get the hell out of this.
He's sitting there in the fireplace family. Eating something, soot all over him.
Billy.
Peter.
Peter, Billy. What, idiot Bobby, whatever. All those names work. Peter. They were all called that. And Stuart. Let's see. Dark days of the Cold War.
I can hear the laughter in Moscow now. No, Admiral, no. There is nothing more.
Yeah, that guy was so earnest.
Yeah, and he was dramatic, boy. Come on.
The Russians, blah. That's the, there was all the propaganda stuff. No, just, totally. Just, you know, what was he? Secretary of the, Secretary of Worrying or something.
Yeah, Secretary of Worrying. Yeah.
But I assumed he had some big role.
Mr. Secretary?
Yeah, and I like how easy access everybody's got to the president. Just bring your wife on in here. Let her talk as if she's known you your whole life. That right. stuff is dumb. Yeah. And that did not look like the Oval Office.
No, like a little warehouse building somewhere.
Like my office.
It's where they like wrote your the, office.
Where they wrote the movie.
Right. The square office is what that was. Let's see. Another some more angry acting.
Shut up, you fool.
I love that.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Shut up, you fool.
Was that the Russian? That was a Russian. I think so.
Yeah, it was Stimpy.
Stimpy.
You idiot.
Okay. I love old-time presidents. Here's one.
You must shut down your transmitter.
Shut it down? You're not serious.
I've got to clamp the lid on this business. Stop these communications.
That sounds like something my Uncle Tubby would have said. We've got to clamp down this business.
You had an Uncle Tubby?
Yeah, I know. Uncle Tubby.
That's all we can get past is Uncle Tubby. Wait. Stop.
My Uncle Tubby would totally say, we've got to clamp down on this business. See?
Did he hang out with Casper and Little Audrey and Hot Stuff? And
no.
Nice.
But I think it was a nickname. I don't know what his real name was. He was way old when I was a kid.
No, wait. So his real name wasn't Tubby. Oh, it was, okay,
well, they called him Tubby. But, you know, I guess, I don't know. But you would think I would know I'm far enough along now. I should probably know his real name, and I don't know it.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah, my grandmother, Pete, I didn't know her real first name until.
Pete?
Yeah, everybody called her Pete.
Oh, weird.
And that's my grandmother. My father's mother was Pete to me all my life. Although, you know, as a kid, if I was going to call her that, I'd call her Petey.
Oh,
but I learned like when I was in my 20s, I learned that her real first name was Cleoma.
Oh.
Yeah. Same thing happened to me. Grandma Sasquatch. I still don't know her real name.
But you called her Big Feety for a long time?
Yeah, Big Feety.
Okay.
Aw, Big Feety.
Oh, Big Feety. Skunk Ape. Come here. Give me a big hug. Harry and the Hendersons. Come here for a minute.
Love it.
All right. You know what I forgot about from Harry and the Hendersons? I found it the other day. I don't have it handy. I'll save it for next week. Remember the thing where he gets kicked in the nuts?
Oh, yes.
I had forgotten I kept that. Anyway, let's see.
I got it here in my head constantly.
Jesus on Mars.
You have been given knowledge and have used it for destruction. 7 lifetimes ago, you were told to love goodness and hate evil. Why have you denied the truth?
The Sermon on the Mount. On Mars.
Wow.
On the Mount, except on Mars, so it's not the Mount.
Wait a minute. They wanted to be so serious and like have us take it serious.
Signed, Jesus.
Signed, Jesus. Who is this Jesus fella? Yeah.
P.S. Don't eat the yellow snow. You know, it's just so like matter of fact. Like they're right. Sending these messages. Give me a break.
They get to this thing 7 lifetimes ago. No, that doesn't exactly work. Oh, but it does because Mars has such a longer orbit that somehow then they never get there. They just give this. They give you this idea. That what would have been, let's just say, 30 lifetimes ago on Earth would have only been 7 lifetimes ago on Mars, which is ridiculous. Why would the longer orbit make them live longer? Sure, their years would be much, much longer, but that just means they would live to be 15 instead of 100.
Just remember, this is all fabricated in some German's mind.
I know. He was a stupid German is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And what's funny is he was stupid and they fell for it.
Yeah. And they kept falling for it.
And they still didn't get it when he come explained it to him. He had to like sit him down and say, okay, kids, there's no Santa.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad.
And he knew that hydrogen problem was going to be a problem in there because he knows all about the tech. He had his own version up of the Jesus antenna thing, right?
Jesus antenna.
It was some kind of hydrogen antenna.
Yeah, what was that all about?
That was, don't get me started on why that's so stupid sounding. That sounds terrible. Oh, what's
still
your antenna made out of?
Pull the valve, too.
Right. Oh, yeah, because you kept pulling valve. Oh. All right, let's see. Jesus and man from Mars are the same?
Or is it possible that the man of Nazareth and the man of Mars are the same?
Oh, shut up.
Just call him a Martian. For Pete's sakes, not man of Mars.
The man of Mars.
Are we trying to be proper here? They can't even hear us.
They're really walking a fine line here. Because the natural conclusion would be that, I mean, if you think about it critically, the natural conclusion would be that you're stating Jesus was an alien when you're actually trying to state that Jesus just also visited Mars.
Yeah, they're like, being really, you're right, they just tiptoed around that like crazy. Because who's going to see your dumb movie if you...
It's very awkward.
It's really weird. It's a weird thing to have to dance around.
I think it's unique, though. I don't think I've seen... I mean, really, when you think about it, if you try to explain to somebody, it's like, yeah, you know, and halfway through the movie... Jesus starts speaking to the people from Mars. You're like, I want to see that movie. That movie sounds outrageous. Let me see it.
Let's see that crazy stuff happen.
Yeah.
So here's a question for you guys. If I asked you, if somebody's like Islamic, you'd say they belong to what faith?
Islamicism?
Nope.
Islam.
Islam, or they're also called the M word.
Muslim.
Thank you. I just want to make sure we all know it.
Are you making us say that? Are you going to send this to some kind of...
No. You're going to hear why. Because I, of course, would say Muslim. You would say Muslim. Or you'd say Islam.
Somebody just recently said Muslim, I heard.
Some people say Muslim. This is even worse. Listen to what they call it.
Okay.
So here they're rattling down all the religions. Just listen for it. Here it is.
Let us not forget that they are also the essence of all other religions. Christian, Mohammedan, Jewish, Buddhist.
All right. Did you hear Mohammedan in there?
Mohammedan. Yeah.
Is that Mohammedan, a thing? Mohammedan, is that a thing to say? Is it?
I mean, it is.
It is?
1950s it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shut up. Mohammedan. Shut up. I got to go hug my gollywog, whatever it is.
Yeah. You can find it. You can find it in the Oxford English Dictionary.
Mohammedan.
Not kidding.
Okay. Well, I assumed it is one.
Allah lovers? Buddha lovers?
Not only does the OED have Mohammedan going back to 1663, it's got four alternate spellings for Mohammedan.
Wow. So back then, like were they just not Muslims then? I mean, did that come into vogue later? I don't know. I just don't know the history here. It's weird. I assumed it was real. It just felt so antiquated. I'm like, oh my gosh, guys. Mohammedan, come on.
I love it.
He's going to start calling Jewish people what?
Jehoshuans.
Jehoshuans, right.
Jehoshuans.
And Buhidiisms or something, you know? Hindu dibidibisms. And also, I like how they narrowed it down to like five of the common ones, and that was it.
Yeah, like, everybody else is out.
Yeah, forget you guys. Forget all you Anasazi Indians with your freaking goat worship or whatever it is you do. Forget you guys.
I don't care about you guys.
Yeah, there's no goat on Mars trying to talk to you. All right.
It's actually kind of cool that in the last 60 years a lot of words have gotten replaced by better words. You know, like it's actually kind of cool that people went to Muslims and said, what do you call yourselves? Oh, we'll call you that too, you know? And actually that we actually do.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess that's probably the evolution of this word, right?
All right. A bunch of white people got tired of getting told for stuff, so they said, all right, what's call you?
That's exactly right. A bunch of white people went around the world naming things, right?
Yeah.
And like they named the Galapagos.
And we got it wrong.
Yeah. They named the Galapagos Islands Hood Island and Santiago, St. James Island and Charles Island. And then the people who actually live nearby in South America came along and said, you know what? We're going to call that Santiago and we're going to call that San Cristobal and... Eventually, the white people got their head out of the clouds in the 20th century and came around to also calling them, you know, Isabella.
Yeah, and finding out from the people who live there, what do you call stuff? It's actually a good advancement in human history, I believe.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
I call you Mohammedans.
That's just the way it is.
Deal with it.
We call this a chair. We call it maize. I don't care. It's a chair. You're gonna call it a chair because I'm a white guy with a bigger gun.
Do you have a flag?
Do you have a flagon? A flag?
A flagon. What is your flagon?
I don't even know what I'm talking about. All right.
We're not even talking about movies anymore. This movie is so bad. We're not even gonna talk about other movies.
This movie is as bad as Freaked, only not as fun.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Freaked. Yeah.
I forgot about Freaked.
Yeah. Well, Mandy Moore.
That's right. All right, old man Russia takes over. Check it out. Whoops, there it
is. This morning, our armies in occupation of fatherland have been recalled to our own soil. We have thrown off our chains of 40 years of bondage. We now free our neighbors of there.
All right. It's basically Chong.
It is.
Yahweh.
Sarducci.
Brings us together.
Love it.
That by the way,
when you said freaked, I think I confused that with saved, which is why I brought up Mandy Moore.
Oh.
Yeah, because Mandy
Moore.
We haven't, but that's the Bill, Jesus movie Bill I was
from,
connecting
Bill
to.
From Bill and Ted is in Freaked.
Keanu?
Yes. Yeah. It's the one we watch for the show, yeah.
Brian, Ted is Keanu Reeves. Yeah. What are you telling me here? You're freaking me out. Fun. All right. How about bad singing? So all movies in the 50s had this. All of them. Everything ever made had this in it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Time to bring out the ladies' choir.
Oh, I hate it.
That's right.
I hate that choir sound. Lots of Disney animation did back in the day.
Yeah.
For some reason, that makes me want to go back to The Impressive Clergyman. That dream within a dream.
You're going
to
try it while it's playing.
And Bob, true Bob, will follow me forever. So treasure I go, Bob.
That's right. Happy flipping. And then we go to... Netflix red screen.
Boa
I know immediately.
Netflix red screen, no credits. Well,
yeah. Makes you feel like you've missed something.
Yeah.
Company called Cheesy Flicks that apparently.
Bought it 2007 bought it. Something. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. That's garbage. Okay.
It was bad when it started out with that Cheesy Flicks. I'm like, oh man, somebody bought this. It's going to be bad.
Just bad. All right. Bad. That's it for that. Time for awards. We are going to award this film the following awards it was nominated for by the Academy of Film SAC people. Wins for taking the longest amount of time to do anything. All set up, no payoff. Nice job on that. The Golly Mom Do I Have To Award goes to Stuart.
The Beeve?
Yeah, the Beeve over there. Basically the equivalent of the Beeve. Let's see. The Our Russians Must Have Really Thick Mustaches Award goes to this film.
Yeah.
The Sweet Miniature Avalanche Award goes to the dude up there in the Andes or wherever the hell he was. And check out the Star Trek connection sent to us by Daryl the Trek Nerd, Robert H. Justman. So this is the weird thing. This predates Star Trek. So this is the first time that we've really looked at this from that angle. And we've had other old movies, but we've never really thought about it this way. Robert H. Justman went on to be an uncredited production assistant on TOS. He was associate producer through mid-third season on TOS, meaning the original series. And then on Next Generation, he was a supervising producer for 18 episodes in his first season. Pushed hard for Patrick Stewart to play Picard is often said to be the guy who got him the job.
Nice.
So weird.
Wow, so Star Trek has a Red Planet Mars connection, really. You flip it around.
Right, looking at the other way around, yeah. And I would give this
Planet of Mars connection.
Yes, the soundtrack grade. I would give it A for appropriate for the time period, but kind of terrible either way.
It was. Awful.
I hate the sound completely. Everything about sound in this movie just offended me.
Yeah.
It felt like everything was free. Like they'd gone and found like a college student trying to put some sounds and tries to find free stuff, free music. Yeah. It's in the public domain.
Goes to archive.org
or something.
Which is
pretty common. Yeah, right. Yeah. It was pretty common back then to do that, get stock footage from that kind of stuff. But yeah, from the audio stuff, it was bad.
Yeah, pretty bad. All right, well, here's where we sum it up. In a Twitter post, 140 characters or less. You three, sum up what you think of this film. Let's start with Randy. Randy, what do you say?
Red Planet Mars. The movie your grandparents made. You know... Your stupid, talentless grandparents. Rest in peace, old farts.
Oh, man. Take that. Take that, old lady who's not alive anymore. All right. I like that one. Let's move on to Dunaway.
Red Planet Mars making the piece of crap with Ice Cube seem like a more reasonable movie about Mars. Dear Lord, don't make us sorry. What kind of prayer is that?
It is a weird prayer is what that is. And Brian Ibbett.
Red Planet Mars, pro-religion, anti-commie, but the thing that really seals it for me is their stance on smoking around hydrogen bombs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Smoke them if you got them in this movie, right? Wow. there you have it. Well, here's what I learned while you turned off my sci-fi movie and made it into some kind of religious message. In Red Planet Mars World, parents can leave their kids alone all night legally.
Mm-hmm.
He was a little young for that.
Shut up and eat your pie.
Yeah, eat your pie, boy. We're leaving. We're going to the observatory where our giant gas bomb is going to somehow talk to Mars. All right. If I have to hear Peter Graves say the pie number one more time, I might fart blood.
Right.
Remember that time where he repeated it like 50 times?
I was going to kill him. They all were doing it.
Yeah. 3, 1, 4, 4, 1. One.
That's kind of it. Let's see. In Red Planet Mars Land, people just about kill each other to get their hands on the daily paper. And that's what I learned when I watched this dumb movie. We got an email from a listener who sends in the following question. His name is Brett. He says, are there any Jim Carrey movies you would consider sacking? So I would put it to the team here. Start with Ibbot. Ibbot, is there a Jim Carrey movie you think is worthy of sackage?
Earth Girls Are Easy comes to mind immediately.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Maybe The Majestic.
That's also pretty good.
Well, I love that movie.
I really like The Majestic, but it could work. Mm-hmm. If Red Planet Mars worked, that would work. I'm starting to. Standards have been lowered today.
I think The Mask is by far the film sackiest film sack of all.
Really?
I think it's pretty film sacky. Sure.
I think the most film sack film of Jim Carrey's is Batman Forever, and then The Cable Guy.
Oh, you're not wrong about Batman Forever. You're totally right about that.
Oh yeah,
I love The Cable Guy.
I hate the answer Batman is, Forever though.
There's about 8 Jim Carrey movies that we'd sack.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I'd go out on a limb and say that it might be fun to sack Bruce Almighty. Just for maybe a live one or something. I don't know. Yeah. Part of me says that as I say it, that's wrong. But there's something about that movie that I think would provide a bunch of interesting conversation about the subject matter. You know,
well, none of us said The Truman Show.
No,
I love The Truman Show.
We don't want to say anything.
It's one of my favorite movies ever.
I know. I'm the same way. I'm just surprised none of us said it.
Yeah. I don't know.
See here. Here's a few movies that are playable by Jim Carrey. I Love You, Philip Morris. Christmas Carol.
Anybody else watched Philip Morris besides me?
No.
Nope.
The Deadpool.
Isn't that one where he does anal with some dude?
Yeah, Ewan McGregor, some dude.
All right, and so him and Obi-Wan are getting it on. Got it.
Yeah.
In prison.
Batman Forever is on there. Earth Girls Are Easy. And Peggy Sue Get Married. So.
Oh, yeah. Some Peggy choices. Sue Get Married.
What's his name's buddy? I forgot about that.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage's buddy. Didn't Nicole just talk to us about this?
We just heard this. Yeah, like last week. I'm having deja vu about it. All right, well, there you go. There's your answer, Brett.
The Deadpool. Man, I didn't was even in that.
What's the Deadpool?
The Deadpool.
Is that about Deadpool, the comic character?
It's the Dirty Harry one, right?
Yeah, Clint Eastwood. Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Weird.
He gets like second billing behind Liam Neeson. I don't remember.
Liam Neeson was in that too?
All right. Our new answer is Deadpool is the new answer that we would like to see.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got Slash in it. I mean, it's got, you know.
Slash.
Guns N' Roses.
He's in it?
Yeah. Guns N' Roses did. Yeah, they did a cameo for that movie. They did Welcome to the Jungle, I believe. Wasn't that the one that was?
Well, they did that for Terminator 2, I know. Hmm. Trying to think. I don't think I've seen Deadpool.
You need to watch Deadpool.
Deadpool, I guess. And that's a Dirty Harry movie? That's the Dirty Harry character?
Dirty Harry, yep.
Yeah, all right. We've seen one of his. Deadpool.
It's like the last one, right?
We've seen Dirty Harry. Right? Wasn't that what that was called? Or was that called something else?
No, we saw Dirty Harry.
That was called Dirty Harry, yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember.
Oh, if only Scott Johnson had a soundboard that was like the size of a wall.
I know.
Where
I don't
he
have
could
a
just
big
go
enough.
Right to any one of 500 things that we've.
Needs to look like a record producer's table, you know, with all the knobs and buttons.
All right, I'll tell you what. Here, I'm going to just close my eyes and literally click on a random spot. Okay. So let's see what we get. This is from Film Sack Pass. So here we go. Okay. 3, 2, 1, random.
Who the hell is King Willie?
Oh, fantastic. That's a good
one.
That was from
I Love You, Philip Morris.
Yeah. I've not seen that. Is that good? So is that a good movie? I don't want to see Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It's a good movie.
No,
it's a good movie. If you're challenged by the portrayal of homosexual functions.
Acts of yeah. I just don't. Do you see anyone's wiener?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, then I'm in.
No, I mean,
are you
fact,
sure?
I think it's probably PG-13. It's really not that.
Oh, I can't imagine. Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, it has Obi-Wan, so I like Ewan McGregor. He's
it's
cool.
It's really funny. And Jim Carrey is perfectly cast as the
as
manic
Morris. Oh.
Kleptomaniac liar, uber liar.
Yeah, I love that. If you don't know anything about anything, you'd think the movie stars somebody who plays Philip Morris. I like that idea that there's somebody in there named Philip Morris. You know nice. What I mean? Or is there? Do I not?
Yeah, that's the deal. Is the movie is based on the true story of Stephen J. Russell, one of the world's greatest liars.
Yeah,
and he falls in love with a guy named Philip Morris.
Oh, but it's not about the Philip Morris smoker cigarette. Company.
No, not at all. All right. It's just the Ewan McGregor's character happens to be named Philip Morris.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you, Philip Morris. All right. Let's move on from that email. Scott Fletcher, hey, I'll bet you got stuff to say. Little clips from this movie, maybe. This one about a volcano.
We've lived on the edge of a volcano all our lives. One day, it'll boil over.
See, she was just a worry wart.
That was
fantastic.
A metaphor, mm-hmm. But if you take it seriously, you have to really question their choices in real estate.
Yeah. Well, all of California is about to go under. That's what they've been saying for 500 years. And by the way, is it the mountains of San Diego? Because they
why not?
Well, they don't look that mountainous when I drive through there. They look like hills. You know, like the rolling hills of San Diego. I'm not looking at they're not mountains, dude.
Don't make those mountains.
So who San Diego people, you can email me, chew me out for this, but I don't think you got mountains.
No, I don't think you got mountains. I live in the mountains.
You have literally made mountains out of molehills in this movie.
Yeah, right.
World we open door on? What?
I wonder what kind of world we're opening the door on.
I wonder too. Fantastic. Thank you, Scott Fletcher. Always a treat to have him among us and with us. That's going to do it, guys. Next week, Dirty Dancing.
Yay!
Yeah, it's not quite it's not quite a Roadhouse, but it's as close as we're going to get for a while.
Oh, man.
That's a really sad thing to say, isn't it?
Don't make me watch it.
Come
on. It sounds awful.
I have not seen this in... Is this one that we should check and worry about? Like,
yeah, has anyone not seen Dirty Dancing?
I've seen it.
Oh my gosh. No. It sounds awful for us. For this, it sounds awful. I am just so glad.
I'm not even going to watch it. I'm just going to make notes from what I remember.
You're just going to remember what you remember.
Don't Put Baby in the Corner. Kellerman's. The Carrying Watermelons. The chick from Dancing with the Stars. And
just remember that. And you're done with that movie.
Patrick Swayze's Hot Wife.
I'm going to pretend that it's what was the movie they were both in? Freaking Red Dawn. That's what
I'm Red Dawn. Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, don't forget they were in Red Dawn together. Oh yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Jennifer Grey took a grenade to the chest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Wolverines, baby.
Why can't we get that for films?
I know we got to. I so want to watch that. You guys have no idea. That movie was one of my favorite things ever when I was a kid.
Still is.
Loved it.
Still love to watch it. Watch it about once a year.
Do you really?
Oh, you do.
Yeah. Well, it's your water world then.
Totally. See, yeah, and Scott Johnson has made that like a rule that he would not do a film on FilmSack if he watches it regularly.
Well, except Waterworld, which we did.
Except Waterworld. Okay, yeah, there's an exception.
I made that exception. For the most part, if it's an annual thing for me, I try to avoid it. But Red Dawn, that's an in. We have to do that no matter who's watching it and how often.
Mm-hmm. And we discovered recently, I don't remember what the films were, but there were some suggestions that Scott was like, no, I watch that too often.
Yeah, it's we were talking about Serenity. Which I just A, love, and
Serenity now.
B, I think it's too new, and C, I've seen it like 19
and
times.
And it's streaming, and it's perfect.
It's a great movie. It is. You know what? It is in my list of things I would call perfect movies that I've talked about this on the show before. I really feel that way about it, and therefore I don't think it's sackable. And not I don't even mean that we can't see something we all like because we do, but you know. Yes,
and I'd want to watch all the episodes of Firefly before I watched it.
Oh, because you haven't yet.
No, I've seen them all. I
just want to watch them again. Yeah.
I would want to watch them again. I'd want to see the everything that led up to that.
See, if I did that 19 times, that would kill me. That's too much.
I would submit that some of the films we've all seen the most, like Lethal Weapon or Maverick or something end up being great episodes of Film Sack.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Well, I've never seen Lethal Weapon 2. I don't think I'd seen. Oh, no, I had seen it. It's Lethal Weapon 3 and 4 I've never seen. Are there four?
Yes, four.
Yeah, I've never seen three or four.
Chris Rock.
Yeah, those are...
how unfortunate. Number four. Yes.
Well, four had Jet Li's first American movie, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First U.S.
Chris Rock was the other one added to it.
Yeah, and I didn't see any of that. So one day we'll have to revisit those. But yeah, Serenity's, I've seen it 19 times. Like, that's a lot since 2005.
Expendables is the only Jet Li film we've seen, right?
That's true. Yeah. Ugh. Well, yeah. I guess you could call it a Jet Li film.
We need to start developing a list of amazingly film sackable actors that we have managed to not sack yet.
Charlie Sheen is long overdue.
Yeah,
his 80s work. So again, we'd kill that bird with the same stone with Red Dawn. That'd be no problem. Mm-hmm. He's in there.
Totally. We got to get the Wraith. The Wraith has to be in the list.
Wraith is by and yeah, fantastic.
Deadly movie. Friend has to be another one we see.
Yeah,
and Christy Swanson and
Dude, you know what I wish?
Anybody?
We got to get another horror movie in here too.
Ooh,
we gotta get some horror movies going. Anyway, not just waiting for Halloween for those.
We're still recording, aren't we?
This is part of the still show. A show. All right, let's get out of here. By the way, folks, if you'd like to hear more episodes, if you haven't before, if you're new to the show, you can find all our archives, show notes, comments, all that kind of stuff, links to our forum and whatnot at filmsack.com. You can email us, filmsack@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @filmsack. And if you're so kind, you'll leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love that as well. That's gonna do it for us, for me. For Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, newsman.
To oblivion!
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.